And so tonight, I want to look at the church at Smyrna in verse number 8 of Revelation chapter number 2. I desire your prayers tonight because it'll be a little bit different, but I hope when I get done, you'll understand I'm going somewhere. It's going to take me a little while to get there, but we're going somewhere. Amen. You'll just stay with me tonight. The Bible said, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. You'll notice if you go back to Revelation chapter 1, you don't have to look there, but the introduction to these churches all use part of that description that John gave of the Lord Jesus Christ when he saw him in his glorified state in Revelation chapter 1. He said, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. I love this in parentheses, but thou art rich. It reminded me when I read that today of an old preacher that was shaking hands after church, and he told everybody before he went to the back of the church, he said, I want everybody in here to shake my hand. Then he said, I want you to go out of here and tell everybody you see you shook hands with a poor boy that's got everything. I like that. Amen. He said here, I know thy works, thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and ye shall be tried, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Watch this. Be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death. He that hath an ear, well, excuse me, I missed a verse there. He said, fear none of these things. You'll have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. You remember last week we talked about overcoming. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for the folks that have gathered here in the house of God. And I pray tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, that you'd help me, Lord, to just convey some of these things that you've taught me today. I love you. And I thank you, God, that it's all because you first loved us. And Lord, I pray tonight, our Father, Lord, never knowing who may be sitting in the auditorium that's never really been born again, Lord, that the Spirit of God would have liberty every time we open the doors, every time we open our Bible, that the Spirit of God would have liberty to speak to our hearts. Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Pray, God, tonight you'll bless our people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Smyrna is a church that has undergone intense persecution. I don't know about you, but when I think about the seven churches of Asia, and I think about present day, how that dispensationally there may be a representation, I think about Ephesus, a church that's left its first love. And then I think about over in chapter number 3, that church at Laodicea, that church that's just lukewarm, that church that makes God sick. Amen. He could just spew them out of his mouth. And we'll get to that later. But this church here tonight, what I didn't realize is this church is represented in the world today. If I were to ask you tonight how many Christians were persecuted in the year 2025, how many would even have a clue? I didn't. How many would even have a clue? 1 year, 2025 in the world, 380 million Christians were persecuted. I'm going to read this to you tonight. God's going to stir our hearts. If He has His way in your heart like He has in mine today, this is going to be in your prayer life. Praying for people that love Jesus and yet don't have the privilege that we have to meet publicly and carry a Bible unashamedly and worship our Lord and our Savior. According to the 2025 World Watch List report from Open Doors, over 380 million Christians, roughly one in seven worldwide, suffered high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. This figure includes, listen, over 4,400 Christians that were killed for their faith. Now, we're not talking about history since Jesus back there. We're talking about last year, in one year, the year 2025. By the way, many of our missionaries, Brother Keith included, goes into places that's very dangerous. A situation can turn on a dime. Amen. And millions more facing violence, displacement, church closures, marking 2025 as a year with historically high levels of violence. The total affected were 380 million. The region impact in Africa, one in five Christians faces persecution, while in Asia, two in five face persecution. The deadliest location was Nigeria. It was a focal point for the violence. I'm going to go on a map in just a little bit. If I could have figured it out, I would have got Brother Adam to put it on the wall for us tonight, but I'm just going to give you some things on the map worldwide in just a little bit. But we're going to focus for a little bit on this church at Smyrna, this persecuted church. Jesus put it there for a reason. And I believe that God wants us in America to wake up. We gripe about stuff we ain't got no business griping about. And I believe he wants us to be a more thankful people and a more prayerful people. He wants us to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. In 196 B.C., Smyrna, they built the first temple to Dea Roma, the goddess of Rome, the spiritual symbol of the Roman Empire. Once the spirit of Rome was worshipped, it wasn't much of a step to worship the dead emperors of Rome. Then it was only another step to worship the living emperors and then to demand such worship as evidence of political allegiance and civic pride. In AD 23, Smyrna won the privilege over 11 other cities to build the first temple to worship the emperor Tiberius Caesar. Smyrna was a leading city in the Roman cult of the emperor worship. The Roman Emperor Domitian in AD 81 through 96 was the first to demand worship under the title Lord. Let me ask you something. Some man raised up in this country and call himself Lord, would you worship him? I'm not going to. Thank God he's always had a people that had better sense than that too. There's a whole lot of them. I looked up that scripture today in Matthew 23. They ain't got no more sense than to call somebody Father. Same difference. Especially when Jesus said not to do it. Emperor worship had begun as spontaneous demonstration of gratitude. It was during this Roman Emperor Domitian that John was banished to the Isle of Patmos. I always grin when I think about them putting John out there. We're going to hurt that old boy. John's been a helping us ever since. Amen. God helped him and he's helping us where he received this vision. But toward the end of the first century, in the days of Domitian, the final step was taken and Caesar worship was mandatory. Once a year, listen to this, the Roman citizen must burn a pinch of incense on the altar to the Godhead of Caesar. Having done so, he was given a certificate to guarantee that he had performed his religious duty. The commentator Barclay told us about that. All that the Christians had to do was to burn that pinch of incense, say Caesar is Lord, receive their certificate, go away and worship as they pleased. But that is precisely what these Christians refused to do. I don't know about you. This strengthens my faith. I'm going to give you some things tonight I believe will help us. If we could just hear the Spirit of God. They would give no man the name Lord. That name would they would keep for the Lord Jesus and Jesus alone. They would not even formally conform. Tonight, they faced intense persecution. I'm going to read to you about a man. I'm going to get into the message in a minute. I'm trying to get you to see the background a little bit of what's going on here. Jesus is commending this church. Let me tell you something about the persecuted church in the world. We may not have our eye on them, but there's one sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's got his eye on them. They're in his heart. Amen. I thought about the little boy that stood over here on this side tonight. I really leaned over and whispered to Mary. I said, Keith would like him. Brother Keith goes to Africa, amen. And I mean, tell you, buddy, they don't come into church dead-headed. They're alive, amen. Amen. The earliest record we have of martyrdom outside of the New Testament is at Smyrna. Now, I said it like that because of this. You know the earliest record is Stephen. Stephen was stoned to death, calling on God. This is talking about after the New Testament is completed in the early church. The bishop of the church at Smyrna, I've heard this name before, but I did not know the story. Sometimes I'm ashamed of myself. I've heard the name. How many's heard the name Polycarp? How many's heard that name? How many knows the story? If you do, that's great. Miss Eve, you know the story. Why didn't you tell me? I'd go dig it up myself. The bishop of the church in Smyrna was Polycarp, one of the early church fathers and a disciple and friend of John. He was 86 years old and dragged from his home. The proconsul, that's a fancy word, Brother Jason. I got on that computer and said, pronounce proconsul, because I couldn't even pronounce it. Amen. That's all right, young'uns. You can laugh a little bit. Amen. I'm laughing at me. You might as well. The proconsul tried to force him to deny Christ. He said, swear, reproach Christ, and I will set you free. Polycarp replied, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? The proconsul did not give up. I have wild animals here, the proconsul said. I will throw you to them if you do not repent. Call them, Polycarp replied. It is unthinkable for me to repent from what is good to turn to what is evil. I will be glad, though, to be changed from evil to righteousness. If you despise the animals, I will have you burned. You threaten me with fire, which burns for an hour and then extinguish, but you know nothing of the fire of the coming judgment and eternal punishment reserved for the ungodly. Why are you waiting? Bring on whatever you want. The crowds then gathered the wood for the fire, and Polycarp took off his robe and walked onto it. The soldiers grabbed some nails to nail him. But Polycarp told them, he who grants me to endure the fire will enable me also to remain on the pyre unmoved without the security you desire from nails. Before the fire was started, Polycarp prayed, I bless you, considering me worthy of this day and hour of sharing with the martyrs in the cup of your Christ, so as to share in the resurrection to everlasting life of soul and body in the Holy Spirit. May I be received among them into your presence today as a rich and acceptable sacrifice. For this and for everything, I praise and glorify you through the eternal and heavenly High Priest, Jesus Christ, your beloved child. Through him and with him, may you be glorified with the Holy Spirit both now and ever. Amen. That was his prayer. When the fire was set, eyewitnesses say that it formed an arch like a sail around his body, and his flesh wasn't consumed. The soldiers seeing then, they saw that this was not burning him. They stabbed him with a sword, and at 86 years old, he died because he refused to worship Caesar. Now, you can go all the way back here in history in the first century, and you can think about that. Well, that's a good story, preacher, but what I'm trying to get us to see is it's happening today. They're killing them all over the world today because they refuse to deny Christ. Smyrna was only 35 miles from Ephesus. It was near to the other five churches as well. We know in the Bible that God, he chose to deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, if you want to use their Hebrew names. But we also know he delivered Daniel from the den of lions. But we also know this. Jesus died. Stephen died. There are people that die rather than deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter died. When we're facing persecution, this is where I want to get into the message tonight. And look at the scripture tonight that's in front of us. I'll give it to you as quickly as I can. Thus far, I don't even think I've ever faced anything that comes close to persecution. Maybe some ridicule, maybe some unkind words along the way or something like that, but nothing close. Nobody's ever threatened me for carrying a Bible or opening a Bible or preaching the Bible. Nobody's ever told me if I don't do this, I'm going to die. When we're facing persecution, we'll give you three things tonight. Number one, we need to be reminded. The Bible said here in Revelation 2 and verse number 8, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Three things right here quickly. We need to be reminded. If we ever had, and by the way, beloved, the way our country's going, it's not a stretch whatsoever. It's not a stretch whatsoever to say that we may be threatened one day for what we're doing tonight. We need to be reminded of who he is. The Word of God said, the first and the last. He's the same Jesus, Brother Vince, tonight as he was when Polycarp said, light the fire. God's people have been boiled in oil through the years, been stretched and sawed asunder. One rope on that hand, one on that hand, one on that foot, and just had the horses go in different directions until their bowels just gush out. Persecution. We don't know much about that. But I tell you, it's going to change me. May the Spirit of God help us to hear what the Lord's saying to the churches. We need to be reminded of who he is. We need to be reminded of what he's conquered, which was dead and is alive. I'm serving the one that conquered death, hell, and the grave. We forget that sometimes. There was a preacher yesteryear, and a guy broke in his motel room, held him at gunpoint. The preacher looked at him and said, "You can't scare me with heaven, son." Boy, oh boy, we need that kind of faith, don't we? Just to know, because he conquered death, hell, and the grave, that grave don't threaten me. Amen. We're going to be with Jesus. And then we need to be reminded of what he knows. The Word of God said in verse number 9, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." God knows the heart of the righteous, and he also knows the heart of the ungodly, the unrighteous. You could just say it like this: he knows everything. He doesn't only know what we do, he knows why we do it. Amen. He knows the motive. He knows everything about us tonight. And we need to be reminded of that. If we're ever facing persecution, we need to be reminded who he is, what he's conquered, and what he knows. The Bible said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye," you and me, "through his poverty might be made rich." Glory. What a Savior. Amen. What a Savior. We need to be reminded. Then secondly, we need to be instructed. Jesus is talking to the church at Smyrna. What's he say in verse number 10? "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison." Boy, that's good news, ain't it? Come in here Sunday morning and say, "Somebody's going to prison this week." I'll never get to preach in a modern church like that, will I? Amen. Somebody's going to prison. Somebody's going to die this week. Jesus said, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. He said, "Be faithful, be thou faithful unto death." Our Lord and our Savior knew that at Smyrna there were going to be many, because they refused to take the pinch and worship the Caesar, call him Lord. Because they refused to do that, they were going to die. We need to be instructed. I wrote down two words right here. If we will receive God's instruction, I thought about a verse a while ago. The Bible said, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." God gives us instruction in the Word of God. When we look at it, it will create in us a fearlessness. The Bible said, listen, I believe this is true, especially of these that are going through this then and now. "Perfect love casteth out fear." I love you, Jesus. I'd rather die with you than live without you. Praise God tonight. Not only fearlessness, but faithfulness. The Bible said here, Jesus is instructing the church, "Fear none of those things." Isn't it amazing? If you read your Bible after Jesus rose again, these guys are behind closed doors. He steps in the midst. The door's being shut. God wanted us to just know he didn't need nobody to open the door. He just stepped in there. "Fear not. Fear not." If you'll walk with him, I tell you, he'll tell you that. "Don't you worry about what they say. Don't you worry about what they do. Fear not, for I am with thee." Hallelujah. Faithfulness. "And I will give thee a crown of life." And then tonight, when we're facing persecution, if we were to face persecution, I don't think it's a stretch tonight. I don't wish it. I hope my grandbabies can grow up in America and be free. I hope they can carry their Bible and memorize their Bible and memorize verses and sing songs like these youngins did tonight without being threatened. Why wasn't James on that stage tonight? Huh? I missed him. Amen. Brother Jason, last time he was up there, he said, "You're going to have to let the air out of my head." Amen. He handed me a pen. Amen. I missed him tonight. Need to be instructed. And then thirdly, we need to be encouraged. I don't know about you, but this doesn't have to do with persecution. But I've been with a lot of God's people that have suffered. And they suffer well. And that always encourages me. That day's coming in my life. If Jesus don't come, the lamp will get low. One day the light will go out. Here. It'll get turned on over there. It ought to encourage. Why should we be encouraged tonight? In the text tonight, we should be encouraged by the cross. When the Bible said, "Be thou faithful unto death," aren't you glad we have a Savior that was faithful unto death? When he was staring death in the face, he said, "Father, not as I will, but thy will be done." Amen. A lot of people, they don't seemingly understand. People say dumb things like, "Well, the nails didn't even hurt. He was the Son of God." But honey, he is the Son of Man too. I believe what hurt worse than the nails was the rejection. Despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That ought to encourage us tonight. Have we even come close? I believe that's how these believers are making it in the persecution. They're saying, "Hey, this ain't nothing compared to what my Lord and my Savior did for me." Amen. At Calvary. We ought to be encouraged by the cross. And then we ought to be encouraged by the crown. He said, "I'll give thee a crown of life." I don't know about you, but it's going to be a happy day if God will just give me a crown that I can lay at the feet of my Savior and just worship one time like a man ought to worship all the time, amen, and cry, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and power." He's worthy. I'm glad the persecuted church in the world, they face it because they know he's worthy. He's worthy. We need to be encouraged not only by the cross, not only by the crown, but we need to be encouraged by the church. He's talking to the church at Smyrna. I believe that's why the church is here. We're supposed to edify. Build one another up. We don't make gods out of one another, but we encourage one another. And the Word of God said, "Even so much the more as you see the day approaching." If you can't see that, you can't see anything. That day is coming soon. And then we ought to be encouraged. The Bible said, "What the Spirit saith unto the churches, him that overcometh shall not be heard of the second death." We ought to be encouraged by the consequences. That guy that burnt Polycarp, if he never got saved, he's experiencing the second death. Apart from God, apart from God's people, apart from God's mercy, apart from God's grace, not for time, but for eternity. You say, "Pastor, why did you bring that up? We ought to be encouraged by the consequences." We ought to be encouraged to know that our God's keeping the score. They killed, what, somewhere around 40,000 in Iran just a little while back because it's trying to raise up against the government. I'm going to tell you what, God knows who pulled the trigger. They may never be brought to justice in this world, but honey, there's another throne. There's another judge. They will stand before Him, be brought to justice. We need to be encouraged. I'll close with this tonight. This is my heart. Tonight, if we would hear what the Spirit would say, the Bible way, concerning Smyrna, concerning what's going on in the world. Brother Caleb, I got about four things. Number one, we thank God for America. Amen. Amen. We quit our griping and our belly aching. I'm telling you, it's getting to where you can't even watch the news. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. It's such a mess. I'm wondering if we shouldn't vote some fourth graders in and send them to Washington. We ought to thank God for America. Yes, we've got our ills and we've got our woes, but there's not another place on the world's earth that I'd rather live than right here in America. Number two, we would hear what the Spirit saith the Bible way. We would get on our knees. And we would pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. Some of them separated, Sister Reed, from their babies over their faith. Some of them are going to die tonight because of their faith. They're not dying because they're a criminal or because they was a gangster. They're dying because they're a Christian. They're persecuted because they're a Christian. We'd get on our knees and pray. This one's going to get you. If we would hear what the Spirit of God would say to the church tonight here at Bible Way, we would pray for those who are doing the persecuting. How many know your Bible well enough to know where that come from? Jesus said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." You say, "Pastor, that's just not possible. Apart from Him, you're right. But our Savior hung on an old rugged cross and said, 'Father, forgive them.'" They don't know what they're doing. They know not what they do. I read this. I hope it'll bless you the way it did me. Richard Wurmbrand, he was a pastor in Romania when it was occupied by the Soviet Union. Rock of Ages is in Romania now, Brother Chris. But it's different. But he kept preaching at his church, and he refused to sanction the state-run church. By the way, this is a little parenthesis right here. But separation of church and state has been totally misinterpreted. It was not, beloved, to keep the church out of the state. It was to keep the state out of the church. There was not going to be a state-run church. He kept preaching. He refused to sanction the state-run church. He was imprisoned and tortured for his faith for 14 years. Let you get a hold of this. Day after day, he was mistreated by the guards. On one occasion, they opened the door to his cell and they found him praying. They said, what are you praying for? Your God has deserted you. Richard said, I'm praying for you. How'd you like to be that guard? I'm praying for you. Oh, Brother Coulter's got one up there in the prison he's praying for. He's been in his home. I'm trusting God he'll get to see that man saved one day. Tonight, if we would hear what the Spirit would say to Bible Way, I'm almost done. We'd thank God for America, for our heritage. We'd get on our knees and pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are persecuted and being killed for their faith. We would pray for those who are doing the persecuting. And then, lastly tonight, we would long for our Lord's return. You say, where'd you get that from? John in chapter 1, he sees the glorified Christ. Then in chapter 2 and chapter number 3, he sees the seven churches. He sees the church age. Chapter 4 starts with, come up hither. The church is going out. The 24 elders are bowing before the throne. The great tribulation period sets in. He sees the Antichrist. He sees men and women running to the rocks and the mountains and crying, fall on us and hide us from the face of Almighty God. Oh, then he sees the church again in Revelation 19 at the marriage of the Lamb. And then he sees, beloved, listen, he sees that final battle. He sees the devil bound. Then he sees him loose. And then he sees the great white throne judgment. Then he sees a holy city coming down from God out of heaven. He sees that new Jerusalem. You get to the end of the book, and you know what he says? Whew, I've seen it all. Best thing that could happen, even so come, Lord Jesus. There won't be any persecution in heaven. Brother Jason, what's it going to be like to walk up to some of these people in glory and hear their story? Some of them may not even tell their own story. Jesus might tell it for them. And then maybe we'll just know the story because we'll know even as also we're known. You want to know why heaven erupts with praise? Honey, I tell you, it's going to be awesome. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight?